Welcome to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast with your host, Tom Singer. In each episode, we will explore the interesting stories of business executives, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders who are shaking things up and growing their companies. It is time to make some waves. Now here's your host, Tom Singer.
Hey, you have found another episode of Making Waves at Sea Level. If this is your first time to find this podcast, welcome. If you have been here for over 640 plus episodes, thanks for being along on the journey that's gone on for 6.5 years. I started the show thinking it would be a short run, maybe 50 episodes, some interviews where I could talk to really cool people who are doing smart things, and then I could learn a lot. And as it turned out, we developed just this entire program that has grown over the years, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's led me to a lot of other things. One of those things I'm going to plug right now, and that is the other podcast, one of the other podcasts that I host. And you're like, why would you plug another podcast? Well, I actually am paid to host 3 podcasts for 2 associations and 1 company, and they're all awesome. There's the Sales Tech Podcast, which is a really cool thing if you work in sales. There is the Digital Enterprise Society Podcast, which is wonderful if you work in and around product lifecycle management software. And then there's the one I'm going to tell you to go listen to right now, and that is, well, not right now. You have to listen to this episode of Making Waves at Sea Level first. But I want all of you, if you use the spoken word in your business, whether you're a speaker, a trainer, a coach, a consultant, a podcaster, whatever, if you speak as part of your business, I want you to go and subscribe to the National Speakers Association's podcast called Speakernomics. I partnered with NSA back in January and we launched this show. It's getting rave reviews and I'm just having a great time doing it. And it's a wonderful project for those who want to learn how to make more money as a speaker. In fact, the motto of the show is speak, get paid, repeat. So go check out Speakernomics wherever you get your podcast love. But today, we're focused on making waves. And I'll tell you what, today's guest is really interesting. She is a coach. She works one-on-one with people and in group settings, but she helps people with their mindset. Now, I've learned a lot about this in the last year. If you listen to this show regularly, you know that I've taken up meditation. I've been studying Taoism. And mindset is really important if you want to accomplish more. If you want to keep all the balls in the air, they'll crash if you don't have the right mindset. So what Mallory Nicole does is she helps people overcome the personal mental barriers around their mindset and overcome the things that are blocking them in business, company, and personal, because she wants everyone to find success and fulfillment. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So Mallory, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tom. I'm excited to be here.
So let's go backwards. No one is born as like a mindset coach. So what did you do early in your career?
That is a very good point. You are correct. Early in my career, I was working for an engineering firm, a civil engineering firm, helping the company. I was on the developmental team. So making sure that what was getting drawn in the office, the engineering plans that were getting drawn in the office, were actually what was being put into the ground and what was being built up to par for governmental and environmental practices. And I spent a lot of time doing that and working in water quality, working in labs, working in more of a science-centered career kind of jobs.
And so what happened? I mean, why not still work at the engineering firm?
Right, because I didn't hate my job. And that is so often the entrepreneur's story that goes, I hated the company I worked for. I mean, I wanted to start a new one.
I hear it time and time again. My career ladder was against the wrong wall. But it sounds like your career ladder was against the right wall. You were good at it. It sounds challenging. What happened?
Yep, it was. And the day I told my boss I was leaving, he grabbed a photo that had the word passion on it. He set it in front of me and he said, you know what? You need to follow this because I see it in your eyes and you've got to give it a shot. You're young. Go after it. And what led to that conversation was over a span of about 12 months leading up to that, I was experiencing a number of health symptoms that were just kind of showing up out of nowhere. It was like overnight, I started basically feeling like I had the flu. Now, I just want to say this is pre-COVID. This is like 6 years ago. This has nothing to do with the things we're, you know, currently experiencing right now.
They should have just quarantined Mallory.
Right, I should have just quarantined. But the symptoms kept getting worse to the point where one day I woke up and I had rashes all over my body. I was like, what in the world is going on? And I was getting blood work. I was trying to figure it out. I was going and seeking medical advice and help. And, you know, my experience, not everybody's, but my experience in this path was that nobody could really tell me what was going on. And this was kind of before health consciousness shifted the way that it shifted. If you go into a restaurant now and you have a menu, there's a good chance you're going to know gluten versus non-gluten items on the menu. I happened to be right on the brink, experiencing this right on the brink of that shift. And what I learned from my own self-exploration was that I had a gluten intolerance. And as soon as I stopped eating gluten, all of my symptoms started to go away. Headaches, rashes, all of the symptoms, my liver enzymes went back to normal. Because that was something that was happening. All of my blood work was through the roof. Like things didn't look right on paper, but there was no understanding of what was causing it. So that really led me down a path of questioning, what do we know about health and wellness, and why aren't we talking about these things? The health business that I started, the coaching certification, all of that was very short-lived. It was very clear to me that that was an introduction into something else, the stuff that I'm really passionate about now, human behavior, why we make the decisions that we make, performance, all of those things. But it really started because of this health challenge that I experienced.
So you made the jump and you did this. And as you said, mm-hmm. it's morphed a little bit. So let's get into the work that you do today, coaching people around mindset. Why in the world would an executive in a company, for himself or for his team, hire a mindset coach?
That is a really great question. And one I often have people ask me, why hire a mindset coach? Why don't I just hire someone to tell me the next thing that I need to be doing, the next step that I need to be taking? And something that I don't think we realize when we are in really busy leadership positions, or we are owners of companies, or at a boss or a managerial level, is that we're constantly making decisions every single day, hundreds of decisions every single day. And the way that we show up to our teams, the way we show up to the clients that we're working with, the team that we're managing, has a direct reflection and effect on how they are going to perform. So there's a lot of reasons, but it really comes down to my one belief, and that's how we show up determines what's going to happen outside of us. And if we haven't done what I call the work, understanding why we make the decisions we make, what our personal patterns are, how we might be carrying and experiencing stress, are we inflicting that stress more than we realize on those around us, all of these different things, business leaders are starting to pay more attention to and ask themselves these questions, versus just the hard skill thought of what's the next step I need to take? What's the system approach that needs to happen here? What's the tactical thing? Because in business, it all goes back to humans. The human connection, you and I, anyone in a company, it's all just a bunch of people trying to figure it out, right? So as much as on paper, we can have the business and marketing plan and the performance plan and all of that, which is absolutely essential, there's still this human behavior part of it that is running the show.
So let's look at someone in a C-level position, and they want to improve themselves and grow their career, but they also want to be effective inside their company. And somehow, through the grace of the world, they end up hiring Mallory. Where do you start?
Usually when I start with someone, they have a couple indications that key indicators that tell them, all right, this is something more than just a tactical approach. There's a level of stress that they're likely experiencing. There's a feeling of stuckness. They're not feeling as fulfilled as they have in their current position or their business. They've stalled, they've plateaued, and they don't really know why. They keep trying to address it by outworking the problem, is what I say. So they're looking for all of the solutions and not realizing that the solution might actually be some type of new way of thinking to growth, whatever growth looks like for them. So a lot of times people already are experiencing some type of, you know, frustration or stress. And I say stress, but even as I'm thinking about this with clients, a lot of times I don't even realize how much stress they're actually enduring, because we're incredibly resilient. You know, we do not always have awareness to what we're carrying. if that makes sense, the emotional weight that we're carrying, how we're bringing it home to our families, how we are letting it play out in every area of decision-making that we're making day in and day out for the company. We don't always realize the lack of clarity that we are actually dismissing from ourselves because of this extra emotional weight that we might not even realize is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. But what's coming to my mind is I do a little bit of executive coaching around mm-hmm. business development and career and a little bit of starting over at 50, if you will, type related things, growing your career kind of into that second piece if you have to make a big pivot. So one of the problems I find is a lot of people look at any type of coaching, and I would put mindset coaching right into that bucket. Many people who are a little bit left-brained, I work a lot with lawyers and engineers and accountants, they're like, well, this is all a little fluffy. It's a little woo-woo. Yep. So what do you do when you have someone who can totally use your help, but they're thinking, oh, what are you going to do? Light some incense and blow candle smoke at me?
That's such a great question. And it's funny because I mostly work with people that are left-brained. And I believe that is because myself, when you look at my career and the work that I did before that, I typically fall into the category of that left brain thinking. So it's very easy for me on a first initial call for someone. I don't do sales calls. I just ask questions. It's like an inquisitive exploration. Hey, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your business? Where are you getting stuck? What's going on here? What's going on there? It's really, really easy for me to connect the dots, almost in that left brain kind of thinking, to connect the dots and say, oh, okay, well, you got this area, and this area, and here's why. Because you're stuck here, here, and here with your mindset barriers, and that's not allowing you to move forward because you keep looking at this from a tactical, outworking lawyer approach. What is the next thing that needs to happen so I can get out of this? When the question really is, what beliefs do I need to change about my identity? What beliefs do I get to change about my identity so that this can shift?
So I understand this because I've gone through a lot of this work recently. And yet, making a change in your beliefs, in your action, in your soul, for lack of a better term, it's not easy. A, because we go back into our set points. I mean, it's just so easy to fall back into what we were doing for years in the past, even though we want to change. And then the other half of this is when you go out and start making real changes in who you are at that soulular level, the people around you often don't even notice. Like you feel like you've made a great change and nobody sees it. How do you deal with those two things?
Mm-hmm. So the first one, we asked the first one again.
Sure. It's hard to make changes your behaviors and yourself and your soul.
Mm-hmm. There's science behind that. And this goes back to the question of like, how does somebody know they need this work and what's really going on here? 98% of what we do is in our subconscious. Our subconscious is basically programmed by the time we're like 10 years old, which to some, that sounds really wild. It's like, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that. I get it because I've also been there because I have a before and after transformation story as well from doing this work, right? But if you are subconsciously making all of these decisions and you're not aware consciously, your conscious awareness does not have the ability to see why you're doing the things that you're doing, you're going to keep doing all the things that you don't know that you're doing, right? So in what you just said, this is not a 5-week process step. You download a lead magnet and you see, okay, do these 5 steps and then I'm good to go. This is a way of making a decision that you are saying yes to you, possibly in a way that you never have before. Maybe you're very career oriented. You know, I see this a lot. People that climb the ladder, people that are really, really good at getting to that next level in their life, but their soul feels like it's lacking a little bit. They don't know why. They don't feel proud of themselves like they thought they were going to when they achieved the last goal that they achieved. They don't know why they feel like there's lacking connection in their relationships with whether that be their personal partners at home, their employees, or maybe they haven't found someone yet and they're questioning themselves in that. All of this kind of goes back to our identity and who we are. So when you say, is it difficult? Yeah, it can be, because sometimes we don't want to see the things that we see. But until we accept the things that we don't like, or that we're not super stoked about or proud of, or whatever language, you know, you want to use there, we can't grow. And we might be able to keep growing with our bank accounts, but that's not, you know, the more and more I do this work, because I work with some people that make lots more money than I do. And I'm very financially stable, but I work with some people that are very, very well off in their lives. The number one thing they complain about is feeling a lack of everything that they thought they were going to have after they built the business that they built. Because they've been so focused on achieving, that this soul work, this inner work, this connection work has been completely avoided. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all kind of woken up a little bit and started to question if that's really the most fulfilling path that we need to be not only living, but teaching the generations below us to follow too.
Well, and, you know, as I think about what you're saying here, one of the other things is I lost 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I lost 30 pounds. And mm-hmm. It wasn't a fast thing. I did it within a year. I changed my lifestyle. I started running. But fast forward 5 years, I still have to run. I don't love running. Right. But if I don't run, right, I pork back up, if you will. I don't know if that's an appropriate saying. But I gain weight somewhat quickly if I don't. And in the pandemic, my gym membership lapsed because my gym went out of business. And I'm not really sure at 54 years old if, hey, I really should be in a gym during the pandemic, you know, at this point. Right. So I haven't been to a gym in a year. I still run. But then the other thing was I'm home all the time. So my eating habits have become grazing. I've gone back to a set point that was pre 5 years ago. And while I didn't put on 30 pounds, I probably put on 6 or 7, but I can feel it in my like pants. And, you know, I realized that you don't get to make changes and then just drift. And sometimes even years later, it's easy to go back to those set points. Is that true in the work you see as well?
Well, I'd really be curious, like if we had another hour and you and I were just talking about you, I'd be curious to know in your thoughts, because weight is one thing, but in your thoughts, when you're going back to that set point, using the word set point here, how long are you really staying there? Because my guess would be after you've done this work, after you've done the self-exploration with whatever path that you went down, the person that you worked with, whatever retreat that you went to, coach you worked with, you're probably revisiting the set points for much shorter than you had pre-work. Because your conscious awareness goes, oh, I'm doing this again. I'm in this pattern again. I need to shift. I need to get out.
Yeah. I'm definitely aware of it now where I wouldn't have been 10 years ago.
Right. But if we don't know that about ourselves,
that I love to eat sweets is what I know about myself.
Well, sweets is one thing. I mean, health is a little bit of another basket altogether because there's so much that goes into health. I mean, you got to look at, are you getting enough vitamin D? Are you getting enough rest? Are you drinking enough water? You know, it's not a cut and dry. Did you do your mindset work? Okay, your health is perfect.
Right.
But in your conscious thinking, this kind of before and after, and I've heard you use the word soul a couple times. So something tells me you've really done some work. You've done some growth work.
Sure. Yes.
Are you ever going to go back?
No.
It's not possible because once you see what you see, you cannot unsee it.
That's a really, really valid point. That makes a lot of sense. But this takes me to that second question. When you do the work and you make the changes, and the people in your life don't notice, how do you deal with that?
What is it that you are wanting people to notice would be my question to anybody. You know, not just you in this, but anyone. What is it that you're wanting people to notice?
I don't know. I really hadn't thought through that whole piece of it, but I do know from some clients I've worked with who have made positive changes. They just would like someone to be like, oh, wow. And I mean, if you lose 30 pounds, people notice because that's like an outward mm-hmm. thing. You know, but if you change the way you treat people, if you change and become a better listener, if you do things like that, you know, people don't ever seem to notice is one of the things
okay,
I hear from
great.
People.
So then the further, the deeper work would be what inside of us needs that validation from someone else to make it be enough, which is really challenging. That's not, you don't like, that doesn't happen overnight. That's a continuous conscious awareness. I have to ask myself the same question as I grow. Mm-hmm. But if we are doing things for the validation of someone else, then somewhere we're lacking that stability, that alignment, that self-confidence, that groundedness that we get the opportunity to live from.
You know what I love about Mallory Nicole, people? She doesn't sugarcoat answers. This is heavy stuff that we're talking about, and she's being honest about the way it works. So I have a couple more questions for you before I let you go. But first,
yes,
I have to thank the sponsor of this episode. So this episode, like all of them, is brought to you by Podfly Productions. Podfly takes the time and the headache out of creating your own podcast. They set you up with the right equipment, training, and guidance to ensure you're going to sound amazing. Podfly does all the heavy lifting and that pesky technical work so that you can focus on creating great content, growing your podcast audience, and interviewing people who are making waves in business like Mallory Nicole. Hey, if you want to start a podcast, and I know that some of you do, jump over to podfly.net/cool things and check out the offer that they have for the listeners of this show. So Mallory.
Yes.
I want to hear, when you've done work for corporations, where you've worked with teams, where are some areas you've helped them shift in this mindset area? Do you have any great stories?
So the number one thing that I see with people when it comes to teamwork is we are afraid to say what we really want to say. And that happens a lot in groups of people and teams that are trying to work together. And like the number one thing about it too, which is kind of funny when you really like sit back and look at it, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We are so afraid of hurting people's feelings that it actually just misses us from really stepping into our value and growing together in at the highest capacity that we have to grow. You look like you're about to say something on that. I feel like you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, this is true in companies. It's true in associations we belong to. It's true with our friends. It's true in our marriage. People don't, you know, in our marriages, people hold back and they don't tell the whole truth or the whole story or their feelings because they're like, oh, you know, that thing. But what I've found is most people aren't made of glass. You know, if you approach it correctly, you can tell people what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you desire, what you need to make this team work better. And while sometimes it's like pulling off that Band-Aid, sometimes it stings a little, you know, most people, if it's presented in a fair and soulful way, most people can deal with that. And yet we think, oh, well, we can't tell them because they'll be crushed.
Right. Exactly. And that's often what happens inside a corporation, inside a company, small or large. We are holding back. I call it not using our voice because I think that's like the most practical way to say, well, when I am speaking with a client or a group, I ask the questions, are you fully using your voice? Are you fully saying what you want to say here on this topic that we might be talking about? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. And the question's like, okay, well, what else do you want to contribute? What else do you want to say? What else do you want to ask? And they have something. They'll say, well, this is what I want to know. And so naturally the question is, well, why aren't you saying that? What is stopping you from asking that question? What is stopping you from saying, hey, I think this is a good idea. Hey, I think we could move in this direction. And it's always, well, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to come off too bossy. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to run the show. I'm not sure if I have a place.
I wonder if people who are listening right now are thinking, oh my God, in my company, me or others on my team are scared to use their voice. I think that's a really clear way that you've just put this. So what can we do about it?
So scared is the emotion, right? You just went to the emotion. A lot of times if we are not living at our full potential, because all of this goes back to, are you living in your full potential? And if you're not, what are the beliefs that are stopping you from why? And there's a whole world that we could dig into in that. But if we are not aware of the emotion that is initially showing up, blocking us from doing the thing that we want to be doing, we will not take the next step. So if we're not consciously aware of, hey, when I'm getting in group meetings, or I even see it with the managers and owners, I don't want to tell my team XYZ. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. If you're not aware that that is actually fear, you will not move the fear past you. You will not process it. You will not move it forward. You will not allow it to just move along, right? And where people get blocked right here often is they're scared to admit that they're scared. Mm-hmm. Well, what's wrong with being scared? It's just an emotion. And that is the thing that I love about this work. You're right. It can sound fluffy, guffy. Are you going to send me incense? Am I going to have to put crystals on my head? No, absolutely not. This is science, right? If we don't process our emotions will continue to block us from moving forward, saying the thing, doing the thing, taking the step, putting ourselves, you know, if you're just like the work that you do, putting yourself on stage. Everyone's got fear around putting themselves on stage. But if you don't process it, you're not going to get there. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way in every other career or business that anybody owns, is understanding that an emotion isn't you. It's just something that your brain is telling you to feel. It's chemicals that are being released in your brain that you're going, oh, okay, I feel scared right now. And then you can ask yourself, well, what is the story that I might be telling myself about why I can't just say, hey guys, I think this is the direction that we need to take here. Oh, well, I might be telling myself that everybody is going to judge me and everybody is going to, you know, have all of these assumptions about that if I fully use my voice, because I didn't grow up in a household where I was taught that it's okay to use my voice.
So Mallory, your work is obviously complex, and so I don't want this last question to be trite. But if somebody is nodding along going, yeah, we have a mindset problem in my company, mm-hmm. what tip do you have for them? Besides hire Mallory Nicole.
Mm-hmm. To start having more honest conversations.
I always say better communication solves a lot of problems. You know, I was talking to a client the other day, and with the pandemic and the stress and everything else, a lot of their employees feel overwhelmed. People are working from home. They're onboarding people who they've never met in person. And I said, are you talking about that elephant in the room? And they said, well, what do you mean? I go, if you know everybody's overwhelmed and you know everybody's freaking out, have you talked about the fact that, hey, we know everybody's overwhelmed and freaking out, and by the way, we see you. And they were like, oh, well, no, we haven't done that.
Exactly. That right there. Exactly. There are so many people that would not take that step because even though you're dealing with it, it's, well, if we bring awareness to the problem, if we own the problem, if we admit this is not where we want to be, then we're somehow wrong or less than. When it's actually the opposite, because it empowers you, it brings back the power to be able to say, this isn't what we want, but the reality is that we're here right now and we're going to do whatever we can do to move forward.
So Mallory Nicole, thank you for being here on Making Waves at Sea Level. If somebody wanted to find you, how would they do that?
The easiest way to find me is abundantlyclearpodcast.com. That's going to take you to my website, and you can fill out a form, listen to the show, send me an email, whatever
fits. Abundantlyclearpodcast.com.
Yes.
And I think everybody should go check out the podcast as well. So I think that's awesome. So thank you again for being here. And thank you to everyone who tuned in and listened. I say it every show. If it wasn't for the audience, there'd be no reason to do this show. So thank you for being part of it. If you like the program, please go tell a friend. Yes, like every podcaster who breathes air, I want you to leave that 5-star review with some really cool words on Apple Podcasts or wherever. However, more importantly, go tell somebody. Tell them, hey, check out this episode, because that's the number one way people find my podcast is when I say, how'd you find my little show? They say, oh, my sister told me, my mom, my boss, my friend, my neighbor, somebody told them to listen, and then they got hooked. So go tell a friend. And go out there, flex your business muscles, make some waves. Make sure your career ladder is against the correct wall. And while you're out there doing all this stuff, have some fun. Go out and have a great day. Yes. See? Go out and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast. Without your listening to these in-depth conversations, there would be no show. Connect with Tom at tomsinger.com and follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Singer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.